It might not be your favorite message. You might not be very happy with me when I'm done. But it's in the Bible, and it's going to be true. We're going to read Job chapter 2. Let's go ahead and look at verse 10, and then I'll read the context in a moment. Job chapter 2 and verse 10. This is Job speaking, but he said unto her, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil?" In all this did not Job sin with his lips. It's a rhetorical question. He says, what? Shall we receive good at the hand of God and not evil? That means, no, we have to receive both. That's what he's saying. We have to accept both from the hand of God. You're willing to receive good from God. Are you not willing to receive evil? I'm going to make 4 points, and then I'm going to read the context so you'll get everything going on. The 4 points I'm going to make. Number one, we receive good from God. Every good gift cometh from above, from the Father. We do receive good from God. We do it all the time. And we always rejoice when we receive good from God. All right, number two, there's a whole lot of evil which does not come from God. God does not do a lot of the things you ascribe to Him. It's not God's fault. You can't blame God for a lot of things. Number three, God does send evil in your life. Now, I'm not talking about immorality. Evil and immorality are different things. Evil is something bad that happens to you. Evil could be a tornado or a hurricane or a death in the family. Evil could be you lose your job, anything. You get sick. All that stuff is evil. That's something bad. It's not immorality. Don't confuse the issue. God sends evil to your life sometimes. Some people, He sends a lot of it. A lot of heartache, a lot of problems. That's the number three. And number four, your success in life depends on how you receive what God sends. How you receive it. Shall you receive good and not evil? That's where your sin will lie if you reject receiving the evil from God. Let's back up. Go to Job chapter 1. And I'm going to read the little story here of Job. Not a whole lot of it. Not all of it, I should say. Look at verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Whence comest thou?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "The fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "The Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house. And it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped. And said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Go on to chapter 2. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movedst me against him to destroy him without cause. And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal. And he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. Let's pray. We need your help, Lord, to get across the glory of who you are and the power that you have and our appropriate worship of you. We need your help, Lord, to teach us. If there's a soul here that doesn't know you, God, I ask you to reveal yourself to that person. And Lord, that you'd touch every heart here with your word, that it would not be wasted on the wayside or in stony earth, but God, it would reach hearts that have been prepared by your spirit, that they could hear your voice and know how you've talked to them, know how you've loved them. You'd show us, Lord. By your spirit, God, I ask you to bless the meeting today in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we receive good, but not evil? What kind of God do you serve? All right, I'm going to point out, first of all, we do receive good from God all the time. Now, there are people in this world who will not acknowledge that. I mean, they think it's just all luck of the draw. You got good stuff? Well, I just got lucky. That's all it is. In fact, they will tell you that everything is just a crapshoot. It's just roll the dice, find out what happens. And if you get lucky, and some people will actually think it's because they've done something good in their life, that that's why good things happen to them. These are all very foolish thoughts. Very foolish thoughts to think that the good things that you have didn't come from God. Because the Bible says that every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. He's the one who's given us every good thing. And if it's God that's given you every good thing, what are you doing thanking Mary? Right. Stop thanking Mary if God gave it to you. Right. Stop thanking Santa Claus. Silly people. Santa Claus doesn't give you nothing. If you brought your kids here hoping to keep up that lie, I'm going to dissuade them of it today. Santa Claus, no, he doesn't bring you anything. It's God that gives you every good thing. Every good thing comes from God. Amen. You stop and think about it. So I've been thinking about all of your physical blessings. Like, for example, life. You're breathing. You have a spirit moving inside you that makes, that animates your body, that makes you live, that makes you able to enjoy everything. You have a mind that can understand. God, there's an awful lot of animals in this world that do not have a mind that understands what you understand. Who gives men that kind of understanding? Well, it's God. It's God that gives men understanding. Did you know it's God that invented color? There's no real difference between color. I mean, nothing remarkable. It's a very slight difference in the length of a wavelength of electromagnetic radiation. And this is such a small amount of electromagnetic radiation in the world, such a small amount, and yet God makes different receptors in the eye so that it receives one a different way than it receives the other. He variates them so slightly so that when you look out, you see color. God didn't have to do that, and it doesn't even make a whole lot of sense. Except that you open your eyes and you see color. And I feel for you if you can't see color. I'm sorry about that. But boy, I'm telling you, if you've ever seen color, oh man. Man, you ever seen a double rainbow in a big, beautiful, dark blue background? Whoa, man, I'm telling you, I've seen some things that just amaze me. I can't get them out of my head to this moment. They're just amazing. The blue sky and the blue waters and the white snow. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. This is amazing. God did that. He gave you all the physical blessings that you have. Have you ever tasted food? Good food. It was God that did that. There is no artificial food. Humans don't come up with food. They've never invented any food. You're not eating anything artificial this week. Not food. Not that nourishes you. I mean, I'm telling you, if you ate chicken, that was God. If you ate an apple, that was God. That's right. You ate wheat, cream of wheat. You ate pork rinds. I don't care what you eat. If you ate it, it was God that gave it to you. It was God. I'd say God deserves a little bit of thankfulness on our part. We ought to be saying, thank you, God. Man, I tasted this banana and I said, wow, thank you, Lord. It was even easy to peel. God did that. God did that. He doesn't make you work so hard for your food. He gives things to you just for free, just because he's a good God. Don't you receive good from God? Oh, yeah, you do. How about technological? You know that God gave you fuel? Did you invent fuel? Did you invent fossil fuels? No, you didn't. No, he's the one who invented fire. They say it's an amazing thing that we live in an atmosphere that allows fire. Fire that you can control. And that's one of the reasons why humans have advanced technologically so far, is because there's wood everywhere and we can burn wood and it has a variation from this hot to that hot, and that allows us to do all these things that we would not be able to do if the percentage of nitrogen was a little bit different in our atmosphere. Well, what do you know? Who decided how much nitrogen? That was God. Who decided how far the earth was going to be from the sun? That was God. Who decided what the tilt of the axis was going to be? That was God. Who decided how big the moon was going to be in the sky? Well, that was God. It was all God. God did it all. God allows you to know, to find out things. God allows you to discover. God does all of these things. Some people call it the anthropomorphic. Somebody help me. Anthropomorphic principle. Anthropic principle. That's correct. Finally got somebody who got the right thing. It's the anthropic principle. The idea that everything seems to work out for people. Everything seems to work out for people. That the sun in the solar system is a certain distance from the center of the galaxy. Yeah. That has to happen like that. It has to be that way. And that the atmosphere disperses light a certain way. It has to happen that way. That water when it freezes floats. Nobody can figure out, well, why did that happen? Well, it's because if it didn't, the whole oceans would freeze from the bottom up and never thaw. water, everything else when it freezes sinks. But water when it freezes, it floats. Wow, it's an amazing gift of God. It's amazing what God has given you. How about your spiritual blessings? How about your political blessings? How, do you have freedom? You have no idea what it means. Amen. How valuable it is that you get up in the morning and decide where to go to church. Yeah. There's a whole lot of people in this world that don't have that freedom. And there are people clamoring to get into this country because of that freedom. The freedom just to do whatever they want to do this morning. Well, now that's a gift of God. You think that just happens? No, most people don't have it. Most people throughout history haven't had it. They say the vast majority of people who've ever lived were slaves. Slaves. Not you. You're free. Amen. You stand up in freedom. You don't like the job you're at? You can quit. Don't. But you can. What about your spiritual blessings? Did you know God gave you a Bible? He gave you a Bible. And it's in your language. And it's trustworthy. And you can understand it. And if there's some things that give you trouble, you have an internet full of people who want to tell you what it really means. You're not on your own. You got pastors that are always trying to help you out and tell you what's the Bible meaning. And you have people you can call and you can ask. These are gifts of God, folks. The Bible says he ascended up on high and he gave gifts unto men. And wow, did he give us some gifts. He gave us people to lead us and to show us and to walk with us and to explain things to us. Boy, God gave us gifts. He gives you a church. He gives you a church of like-minded people that actually love you. And they really do. They really love you. I don't understand it. People aren't really full of love. At work, they're not terribly full of love. But it's amazing. People in the church love other people in the church. That amazes me. Some of you are better at it than I am. But it's true. Wow, these are gifts of God. Do you have opportunities? Do you have rights? You ever heard of rights? I got rights. Yeah, police stop you. Say, well, I got rights. You might ought to stop talking about your rights and just say, yes, sir, and no, sir, or I'm sorry, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. Come on. You have peace? Some people are born in war. Civil war. And there's a civil war going on their entire life. It's happening right now. Over there in Somalia, over there in Nigeria, over there in a whole kind of places. They're just in war. And they've always been in war. There are people that hate their guts. They just hate them. They hate them. They would kill them if they could. Not you. You're born in peace. You go to school and you get taught and it's peace. And I know it's getting worse, but whatever. Come on. You receive good from God all the time. Now the question is, are you thankful? Do you acknowledge that you receive good from God all the time? Just every single day. You wake up in the morning and say, thank you, Lord. I lay down at night and the thing that comes across my mind is, thank you, Lord. Thank you. This bed is comfortable. Thank you. My family's nice to me. Thank you. I got a good church. I got a good Bible. I've got a good job. I got a good life. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Job and his wife had lots of things to thank God for all their life. They say, we were receiving good all the time. We receive good every single day. And they were especially blessed like you Americans. Especially blessed. Just God's favorite. He just douses you with all kinds of good stuff. And some of the most unthankful people that ever walked the face of the earth, walking around and pretending that they did it all themselves. Silly, foolish, wicked people who don't know how to give God thanks. All right. We do receive good from God. And we receive it gladly. People are always willing to say, oh yeah, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. God's really good to me. God's done all kinds of good things for me. But now I want to point out to you that a whole lot of bad things happen in our life also that it wasn't God that did and that God gets the blame for. For I'm going to tell you that if you get something bad happen to you and it's a consequence of sin, that was not God. Okay? I mean, if you teach children that they are really descended from monkeys and that there's really no obligation to seek out the God who made us in his image and that we owe him nothing and that we really are just a product of our genetics and we really are just a product of natural selection where we all fought to survive and that's all we are and everything goes. And then you have a society that falls apart where people cannot even value human life and they kill people for no reason and they beat people up for no reason and they hate each other and they shoot people. And I know we have young men that drive around in the neighborhoods and just shoot into houses randomly. We've had people in this church killed by it. Why? Why did they shoot in that house? No reason. Well, let me tell you something. That comes from wickedness, and that was not God. God didn't do that to this country. No, God did a lot of good things to us. God did a lot of good things in your life, but he didn't do that. So if you believe all the lies that they're saying now about fornication, and you wind up being a single mother, that wasn't God. Now you're poor, that wasn't God. I'm not trying to be mean to you. I'm just letting you know that's not God. Yeah, and if your parents were spoiling you all your life, told you you're the center of God's creation and everything revolves around you and that you're just a wonderful kid, just a wonderful kid, and they never gave you any real discipline and you grow up and now you're lazy and now you can't get a job and so you get on drugs and you've messed up your life and now you have problems, that's not God. That's you. You got your own problems. And let me tell you something, young people, you can mess up your life. But that won't be God. God's given you wise advice. Amen. All of you. I'll bet you every single one of you young people have gotten wise advice from people with gray hair. Or no hair. Oh yeah. Yeah. And they're not perfect. All these wise people, they're not perfect. They don't know everything. They just know more than you. And they give you wise advice, and then you don't listen to it. And then everything goes south, and then you say, it was my parents' fault. No. And it wasn't God's fault. No. No. And so if you have a political system that everybody gets to vote, and they told you, if you get this political system where everybody gets to vote, people will start voting money into their own pocket right out of the government. And that's what's happening. Yeah. And then the government just keeps on spending money. And pretty soon all your retirement is worthless. That's not God. That's you, voters. You voted. That's what you wanted. You say, I didn't vote for that. Oh, yeah, you did. You joined right in with everybody else and you voted for it and that's what you get. But that's not God. Don't be blaming God because your retirement's gone to pot. Your 401k disappeared. It's what we voted for. It's our society. You're the one bragging about democracy, thinking that democracy is going to solve the world's problems. Boy, you waiting for a real awakening someday. Democracy's not the solution to this world's problems. I'm telling you, listening to God is the solution to this world's problems. If they would just open their heart just a little bit and listen to God's wisdom. So if they tell you, you know, well, if you don't like being a boy, you could be a girl. Yeah? And you listen to that nonsense, and you let your child transition, and you help them transition, whatever, and then after a while they hate your guts. That's not God. That's because you didn't listen to God. God from the beginning made them male and female. Amen. If you listen to all this nonsense that fornication's okay and there's no judgmental, we live in a non-judgmental society, just everybody, no discrimination whatsoever, no discernment, just everybody just do whatever you feel like doing and nobody's gonna judge you. And so then you have all kinds of trash in our society. And our society becomes saturated with sexuality. And our children are raised from the time they're small, seeing sexuality everywhere. And they become confused. And then they destroy their own lives. That's not God. That's you. That's me. That's on us. We're the fools that don't listen to God. Our nation, our society are the foolish that don't listen to God. And if they don't listen to God, they can't blame God when everything goes bad. That's an evil that does not come from God. And there's a lot of that going around. And it's going to get worse. You think this generation is bad? You wait till these punk kids that have been raised in this generation become adults. And they start raising their kids. Oh, it's going to get worse. And it's not just going to be worse here in the U.S. It's going to be worse in Europe, and it's going to be worse in Africa. It's going to be worse in South America. It's going to be worse in Australia. It's going to be worse everywhere. Because the world has turned their backs on God. They're not interested in what God has to say. They don't want to know what the Bible says. Boy, ain't that true. So, he says, so now everything's gone south on you, and now you want to come to me. He says, but I called and ye did not answer. I was there. I was warning. I was shouting in the streets telling you don't do this and don't do that. But you just went ahead anyway. You didn't listen to me. But now everything's gone south on you and you come to me saying, help me, God. Well, first recognize this was not God's doing. The world has gone to hell in a handbasket and it wasn't God's fault. It wasn't God's decision. It was humanity's decision to reject God. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. And so professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And they started worshiping monkeys. That's the best you can describe it. They just think it's just amazing. If we can study the big gorillas, we'll know how we ought to get along with each other. Don't get too close to the big gorillas. They'll tell you what they think about you. All right, there's a third point that I want to make, and that is that God sends evil. Now, you might not like this kind of a God. This is the kind of God that'll get, that will make mega churches small churches. Yeah, he'll start telling you, no, things aren't all wonderful. Because everybody wants to hear about the good God, the God that does all the good, nice stuff. But who wants to hear about the God that says, I think I'm going to send you some evil? And then you got some pathetic preachers that have to tell you, oh, well, if he sends you evil, there's got to be a good reason for it. Once again, they're trying to make you out as the center of the world. Like it has to be a good reason for you or God can't do it. But God is not your genie in a bottle. And God is not your Santa Claus.
That's right.
No, God is not your life coach. He's not your co-pilot. No, he's not your canary in a cage. He doesn't sing for you. He's not your beggar. He owes you nothing. He created you. He's the creator. He's everything. He's sovereign. He's the almighty. He is unrivaled and he is unaccountable to anyone. And if he sends you evil, he doesn't have to have a reason. Does this hurt your feelings? This is not the God you like? You say, I'm leaving this church. I'm never coming back. They talk about a God that can do something like that and send, put cancer in my child or take away my mama. Yeah. That's the God. But what's the point of serving any other God? He's the only one. You realize you're not allowed to just make up your own God? I had an old guy one time tell me, he says, my concept of God is, and I just almost wanted to puke. Like, who cares what your concept of God is? As if your puny mind could even come up with a good alternative? That's just nonsense. That's brain dead. You need to find out what God is and who he is and what he's like. You know how he described himself? He says, I am what I am.
Amen.
What are you going to do about it? I am whatever I am. Whatever you think, it doesn't matter. What I am is what I am. I am. That's what he called himself. I am that I am. You want to know who I am? That's who I am. He is.
Amen.
He doesn't require your approval.
Amen.
He doesn't even need you to judge whether it's good or not. I really don't think he cares what your opinion is. No, I'm serious. I'm sorry. You've heard that God just loves you so much and that he's just devastated if you don't listen to him. But what I think is that God is a very mighty, powerful God that created everything, and that gives him a whole lot of rights, and that you have almost nothing to say. And that your feelings don't matter a whole lot. And I can prove it. Because all those bad things that happen to other people are going to happen to you too. What did he say? He said, you think those Galileans on whom that tower fell, you think, or the Samoans or whatever, whom the tower of Siloam fell, he said, you think they were sinners worse than everybody else? No, it's going to happen to you too. You need to repent. It's going to happen to all of us. Evil things come in everybody's life, everybody's life. Now you can try to ignore it and you can try to distract yourself. You can go to parties all the time. You can just, you know, have candles and shoot bottle rockets and do all kinds of things to distract yourself so you don't think about the bad stuff. Yeah. You can take the dead body and you can put it in a nice box and you can paint it up and make it look almost like she's happy. But she's dead and that's God's doing. He says, I kill and I make alive. Yeah. I'm the one who gives life and I'm the one who takes life. That's me. You want to know a whole lot of the things in your life that happen to you, very bad things that happen to you, they're your fault. But some things are God's doing. Like, for example, if fire falls from heaven and burns up the sheep, that's God. Okay? Come on, just mark it down. That was God. That was God. Amen. Don't think, well, it was the devil that did it. No, I know there are some preachers that will say, God never does anything negative. He never does anything evil. Only the devil does that. We know that God's on our side. All we got to do is just claim. Whatever you want to say. If fire falls from heaven, that was God. Let me give you another point. If you write in the newspaper that not even God can sink this ship and it sinks on its maiden voyage, that was God. Right. Now, I can't prove that, but I'm pretty convinced of it. Some things God sends. Some things that are way bigger. Well, what if God sends a pestilence? Yeah? What if God does something really, really tough and he makes us suffer? I had a lawyer friend of mine. I was talking to him, tried to talk to him about God. And he just kind of shut me up by saying, I had a son once. He died. I haven't talked to God since. Oh, I said, so that's the only kind of God you're interested in. The kind that can't do anything that you don't approve of. Oh, no, you don't want a real God. You want one of these little God puppets. Somebody you can manipulate. Somebody that exists to make you happy like he's a genie in a bottle. No, sir. People got a wrong idea of what God is like and who he is.
Amen.
God is not Santa Claus. He's nothing like Santa Claus. And I'm sorry, I know some of you just love Santa Claus, but I'm telling you as a Christian, you shouldn't have anything to do with Santa Claus. Because that is a deceitful representation of God-like power, and God's not like that. God can hurt you. And God has promised to give you the full range of experiences in life. The good and the evil. You're going to get it all. You're going to get good days and you're going to get evil days. And if you've had a lot of good days, evil days are coming. By the way, things don't get better as you get older. Just to warn you, young folks, your life's not going to get easier as you get older. You might have fewer questions. You might have more questions. I don't know. But life's going to get hard. Like they say, old age isn't for sissies. Get tough. Shall we receive good at the hand of the Lord and not evil also? Evil's coming. It has to come. That's life. That's the way things are. Good things happen, bad things happen. Yeah. I mean, you could have a drought for 7 years in California, and then he'll send so much rain, it'll just wash away all the topsoil. Yeah, God does things like that. God can make the whole world crash financially, and then he sends a dust bowl. Drought that just wipes out farmers all over. Yeah, God can do that. And you ought to see some of the things that God did. Or how about a tsunami that kills 250,000 people in 2004? 250,000 people died in 1 hour. Because of God. Now you didn't do that. That was God. And you say, I will not worship a God like that. Okay, go make up your own God then. Just go follow your own God. Whatever kind of God that might be. But he's not the real God. Because the real God can hurt you. The real God is powerful. And he's unaccountable to you. And by the way, it's not about you.
Amen.
Think about why God sent all this evil to Job. What was the reason he sent evil to Job? Was it for Job's benefit? Was it so that Job would have a nice story to tell later on? No, he says the reason. He says, let's just see. You say this, I say something else, let's find out. You realize why Job suffered? For God. For God's pleasure. The Bible says he created all things and all things were created for his pleasure. It wasn't about Job. It was about God. God wanted to know what was in Job's heart. You know what the Bible says about the children of Israel? God suffered them to hunger to find out what was in their heart. You think God might make you hungry to find out what's in your heart? Oh, yeah. You think God might take away one of your children to find out what's in your heart? He certainly might do that. Now, we live in this kind of a little namby-pamby world where God has to do all the good stuff. And we can only think about God that way. And unfortunately, there's a lot of pulpits in America today which will never tell you about the hard God, the austere man that demands things and talks to you like an adult. He says to Job at the end of all that stuff, he says, gird up your loins like a man and talk to me. I'm going to tell you some things. And then read the two or three chapters of the book of Job, what God tells him. Does he say, I'm so sorry, but it's all for your benefit? No, he said, who are you to question my motives? Who are you to say what I can do and what I can't do? He says, I'm God. He starts talking about the creation. He says, were you there when I put the stars in place? Yeah, were you there when I hung the earth upon nothing? Were you there when I created the ox and when I created the behemoth and when I created all these things? Were you there? No, you weren't there. And Job, how does he respond? He says, boy, I spoke out of place, God. Amen. I did not know what I was talking about. You're God. I submit. Do whatever you want. Amen. Yeah, see, that's what God is trying to get out of you. He wants to see how you receive what he sends, to find out what's in your heart. Now, this is strong meat and not milk. I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings, but I'm going to say that your success in life depends on how you receive what God sends. You have a child that gets cancer? I've seen that. That's the most devastating thing. You got a child that gets cancer and you do everything you can. You sell the farm, you do everything you can. And you help that child go through excruciating pain and chemo, and then it dies. I had a young man tell me, he said, if this Bible says that my mother is in hell, I will not serve that God. You love mother or father more than me, God says. You're not worthy of me. You might ought to be real careful how you defy God. Because your success in life depends on how you receive what God sends. God is God. He's not a puppet. He's not your life coach. He's not your financial advisor. He's not your co-pilot. He is your God. He is your creator. Now, I realize that if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've got some promises in the Bible that really do make God beautiful. He takes care of you. He says all the promises of God in him are yea and amen. And that is true. And all things work together for good to them that love God. But let me tell you something. Know the God of this earth, the God of this universe, the God of creation. Know that this God has all power and all authority and is answerable to no man. And it's not about you. It is about him. And only when you come to the place where you realize you need this God in your life more than you need your necessary food, and you love him more than you love your own children, only then do you really know this God. And only then have you passed the test that he's putting on you. You're supposed to love God with all your heart, more than all else. That's the way you're supposed to be. And in a great sense, your salvation actually depends upon that. That decision to receive what God gives as from God with the right attitude. The first thing God requires is assent. You got to agree. You see, that's what repentance is about. It's saying, okay, God, you're right. I'm wrong. You're right. God gets to decide. Yeah, God gets to decide whether you're male or female, okay?
Yep.
God gets to decide that. You don't. Who do you think you are saying, I don't agree? You don't get to decide that. God decides that.
Amen.
Yeah, God decides whether you're good looking or ugly. God decides that. Don't hate him for that. Don't hate him for that. Do your best if you can. Do your best. Comb your hair. Make yourself presentable. Take a bath. It could help. There's some blind girls out there. But God gets to decide something, right? Doesn't he get to decide something? Does he decide whether your child lives or dies? Yes, he does. He decides. It's God. You have to assent who God is. You pray to Mary, you're just saying, God, it's not you, God. I don't like God. I like Mary. You can't have them both. You either have to assent to God, he is God, and nobody else is. Ditch Mary.
Yep.
We'd be preaching out in the street, somebody say, what about Mary? And we'd answer, nothing. Nothing at all about Mary. It's all about God.
Amen.
All about God. You have to assent. You have to surrender. You defying God. You got this attitude in your mind that I'm not going to accept a God like this or a God like that. You got to surrender. It's a surrender. It's like saying, okay, I give in. God, I can't fight you.
Amen.
You're God. I can't fight you. How can I stand up to you? Who do you think you are? You can't fight God. Surrender. Stop fighting him. Surrender. Say, God, it's you. I want to follow you. I want you. That's all I want. You have to surrender. You have to submit. You surrender to God and you say, what do you want me to do? What do you have for me? What do you want? God, take away your wife? Whatever you want, God. You take away your child? Whatever you want, God. Take away your health? Whatever you want, God. God is God. How do you receive what God sends you? And finally, you have to supplicate. You have to speak to God humbly and ask him. Do you realize you can ask God? You come to him humbly. You say, God, there are things that I need. God, I could sure use some help.
Yes.
God, I'm a sinner and I need forgiveness.
Amen.
God, I need some solution in my life. God, I've got all kinds of problems. I've messed my life up with sin. God, I need help.
Amen.
That's what God says. Come to me and supplicate. Come to me and ask. Seek me and find. That's what God is saying all along. You have to assent. He's right. He has all the rights. You have to surrender. Stop fighting God.
Amen.
I mean, seriously, you have to submit. You have to say, God, your word counts. And that's the only thing that counts. Not my opinion and not what the Supreme Court thinks. Who cares? It's whatever God says. And then you have to speak. You talk to God and say, God, I need you. God, I want to be saved. God, I want to be forgiven. God, I want to be healed. God, I want to be changed. And God, whatever you want, I'm yours. That's the way you reach God, the real God, the true God. And this other kind of God where, you know, he can be manipulated and all that stuff, just forget him. There's no such thing. There's no God like that. The only God there is the one that created everything and is not accountable to anyone in this room. He does whatever he pleases. He's the sovereign Lord that can make decisions in your life without asking your opinion. Amen. He does whatever he wants. And you know what he's expecting from you? To receive from him what he sends. In all this, Job did not sin with his lips.
Amen.
That's an impressive thing. Do you realize you can have that same attitude?
Amen.
God has not been nearly as hard on me as he was on Job. But I can tell you this, God is interested in your attitude toward him to say, God, I want you more than all these goods that you've given me. I want you more than all my family. I want you more. I want you. You are all that there is. And trust me, he is all that there is. You have no relationship apart from him. Not with mom, not with dad, not with brother, not with sister, not with child, not daughter or son, nor grandchildren. You have no relationship apart from him. He is the only connection you have to anybody else. He is God, and he expects you to receive from his hands. So, assent, surrender, submit, and ask.
Amen.
Supplicate. Beg him for forgiveness. Beg him for the knowledge of him. Give him your life.
Amen.
And see if he doesn't become the very blessing in your life that he always has proven himself to be.
Amen.
We receive good from God. We receive evil also because this is our God. And he deserves whatever. He deserves our worship no matter what.
Amen.
Lord, we give our lives to you. We belong to you. You created us. And you've proven to be so good to us, especially through Jesus Christ and what he did for us, giving us promises well beyond whatever we could possibly deserve. Lord, we love it. We thank you for it. But God, we do recognize who you are, and we submit to your hand. And Lord, we ask you to be merciful to us and be good to us and bless us. But God, whatever you send, we'll receive it from you, God, knowing who you are and how you are worthy of worship no matter what. Bless this congregation, Lord, as we go our separate ways. Bless us. Bring us back tonight for the Lord's Supper. Do good to your people, Lord. I ask you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
If you want to talk to me about the message, especially if you're not sure you're saved, I'm here at your service. Come and talk to me. God bless. Tonight at 7 o'clock, Lord's Supper.